welcome everybody. Here we are back in the Million Dollar FT Podcast Studio, and we're laughing again because here once again we're having technical difficulties, but we think we kind of have it figured out. And today we got a special episode for you. So with us on the line, we have Andre Russo in the studio. We have Mike Coolins and Wayne Griffith.
Hey, guys.
And our special guest hanging out with us today is Scott Zimmerman from Air Bears.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, hi, Scott. Everybody. Thanks Hello. For having me on the show.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great.
First of all, we just would like to say, please don't tell anybody what goes on behind the scenes.
It's more like the Keystone Cops / Three Stooges.
It was rather comical, but I think we got everything going. We're excited to be here today on Saturday morning. Got some great weather. So let's kind of jump into this a little bit. Scott, you kind of founded and run the operation at Air Bears. Just tell us a little bit, for people who don't know, how it got started, what made you, you know, get into this, and tell us a little bit what's going on.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Before I do that, I just want to take a moment and say, Flight Fest? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yes.
That was like the most epic RC event I have ever been to in my entire life. It's also the only RC event I've ever been to.
I was going
to
say, that was my next question.
But
how many have you
I've
been
gotta
to?
I've got to say that despite being dealt a pretty crappy hand with the weather, you guys managed to pull off one hell of an event. So I tip my hat to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Fun. And you probably won't find another event like that anywhere, I don't think.
No, I don't. I think you're right. That was great.
And I kind of heard through the grapevine and maybe seen a couple posts after Flight Fest, you got a little overwhelmed.
Are you kidding? Let me tell you. First, I got to give a shout out to Matt over at Stone Blue Airlines. That guy, he has embraced Air Bears. Mm-hmm. He has really taken our torch, and he's like running around the village. Air Bears! Everybody, we're Air Bears! That guy, he's worth his weight in gold. So, oh, yeah. Matt, if you're listening, thank you so much, brother.
Yeah, those guys are fantastic over there.
Absolutely.
So you know, since I got back from Flight Fest, my routine has been pretty simple. You know, I get home and from work, and I sit down on my laptop and I open it up and see who signed up for today. And I'm like, ooh, we got 7 people that signed up. That's awesome. A good day. And okay, let's get them put in a database, and you know, we'll pack up their shirt, get their shirts all packaged up, ready to be sent out in the mail the next day, and everything was fine. And then one day, I think it was a nice, calm Tuesday afternoon, when, while I was at work, the 800-pound gorilla of the RC world that is Flight Test decided to flex its muscle just a little bit and make a nice post on their Facebook page. So I get home from work, you know, make myself a little snack, got myself a little drink. I head into my office and open up my laptop. I crack my knuckles. I'm like, okay, let's see how many people signed up today. And then I pooped my pants. And I'm like, it will take me weeks to sort out all of this info.
What was a rough number on that?
Was in the hundreds.
From 700.
I now have a full-time job that pays me nothing.
Oh, that's funny.
So I get on the phone and I'm like, emergency Air Bears meeting now. And so we're all sitting, I told, like, hey, we saw the Facebook post. That's great. I'm like, yeah, that's great. Are you kidding? Like, what's that smell? I'm like, it's my pants.
Okay.
But
wait, before we get too far into this and everything, though, but you got to kind of start at the beginning and tell people a little bit about Air Bears, how it got started and everything before we get too far.
Yeah.
Okay. So Air Bears is a very, very simple idea. About a couple of years ago, I started hearing in the news about a drone. I'm using the air quotes when I say drone. Mm-hmm. The drone found some guy in like seconds after they had been looking for him for several hours. And that happened a couple times. And then I was like, why don't we do that all over the world? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, all we do with AirBears is we have a we get members in, we compile a database, and when your local authorities call for help, if they call AirBears and ask for some help, for example, let's say like an Amber Alert goes out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they call us and they go, "Hey, we got an Amber Alert. Could you help? Could you send some guys out?" I'm like, "Sure." So we input all of our database into some mapping software, and that will pull up the closest guys to the area that's needed. And we contact those, our members in that area, and we tell them, like, "Hey, you know, your help is needed. And if you're available, contact so-and-so," and they'll take it from there. And they go out and they help them. It's simple as that.
Mm-hmm. And I know as of recently, too, you've had a few of your members actually on the news with some pretty awesome rescues.
You know, this organization has only been going for 10 months, and we've already saved 4 people. That's a result of the fine work that Mr. Garrett Brill has done down at Joshua, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an Inspire that's really cool. He's got hot rod flames on it, and he calls it. And he's modified it a little bit so that it can have drop some cargo.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bomb drop on it. And yeah, he did it the right way. He worked with his local fire department. He's not, you know, you'll never see Garrett getting a fire hose sprayed at him, you know, because he did it the right way. And yeah, he's been amazingly successful. So he's our rock star right now.
Wow. My first question would be when you were explaining things and talking about it was, okay, so you gather up all these different people that have some type of quadcopter or some kind of copter, you know, that they can actually go out and help your local fire department or local
sheriff.
Yes. But how do you get to them and say, "Hey, look what we're doing. This is what we can do to help you guys." I mean, how do you get them on board with this?
Well, it's not too hard. What we did when we first, you know, here in Minnesota, we had a group of guys. I got like 7 guys. And we actually just approached our local fire department and sheriff's department, and we told them who we were, what we were doing. We said we'd like to put on a little presentation and a demonstration of our capabilities. So I think once a year, all of the local fire departments get together for a meeting. Okay. And they said, "Why don't you come on down?" So we brought some gear, and we put on a little PowerPoint presentation. We just introduced ourselves, and they were all for it. You know, these agencies, they really would like to be able to use this emerging technology, but it's extremely difficult for them to get because of budget constraints and politics and the FAA getting in the way. It's really hard for them to get. But even if they could have some systems available to them, they don't have anybody that knows how to fly them. So that's where AirBears comes in. We have volunteers who are dedicated to providing this service free of charge and volunteering their equipment to help them be safer, do a more effective job, and try and save some lives.
Okay, so say I sign up for AirBears and I'm on the list. Now, but how do I get that to my local area and let them know, "Hey, this is what I'm doing. Here's a list. You know, can I be a service? Do I do a demonstration for them?" How does that go about?
You don't have to do anything.
Okay.
That's the beauty of this, is because we're in the process right now of creating software and based upon like dispatch, like the volunteer fire department uses.
Uh-huh.
Originally when we had conceived this idea, we would take care of getting all the contacts out to them. Once we found like the hot spots, here's the thing. It doesn't make sense for us to tell the world that, "Hey, AirBears is here to help you," when the closest help to some people may be 2 days away.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to grow this has to evolve. And when we see like hotspots on the map, when we've got like maybe, you know, 5 or 7 people in a state, then we'll contact them and say, hey, we've got some guys in your area that are willing to help you if you need it.
So give us a call.
But eventually, based upon some new software that we're looking at, the possibility exists that all of these agencies, whether it be fire department, sheriff department, police department, whatever, if they need help, they could go into the system and they could see who's available right then and there. And they wouldn't even have to call us. It would be like automatic. So we're working on a lot of things here at Air Bears to make this more streamlined and more effective. And because time is of the essence when you're talking about search and rescue.
Right, right. Okay, now my other question is, obviously you've been in the RC hobby for a while. I mean, I don't know your complete background or everything, but what initially said, you know what, that we could use, I mean, right now, especially with the so-called drones, we're getting more bad press than anything.
Yeah.
So, but what actually, I don't know how to put it in words, was there a moment or was there something where maybe you were flying a quad or doing something where you go, you know what, this would be the perfect situation or something that we could use this for good? I mean, where did that initial inspiration come from?
Ron, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't know where it came from because I literally woke up with this idea at like 3 o'clock in the morning on October 15th of last year.
Uh-huh.
And it was like what I needed to do, how to do it. Everything was already done in my head. And what's also amazing to me is that, you know how, well, you guys, when you created flighttest.com, you had to spell flight differently because the real word flight was probably already taken.
Right.
That has not been the case with Air Bears. There was no Air Bears business. There was no Air Bears website. Hmm. It was completely open for me to take.
Wow.
And somehow, out of coincidence or whatever, everybody that I have needed to make this successful has just been thrown into my lap. For example, I've got my vice president on our board of directors. His name is Dan Lindberg. He's a fantastic photographer, and he's also he's a graphic artist. So he's done all of our like T-shirt designs, and he's taken care of all the, you know, all of the swag and stuff that we're developing, and he's doing all that for us. Tony Yee, my chairman, he's a computer guy, so he's worked on getting the database, and he's working on the website, and he's doing all that. I could not have done this without some help from some really great guys. And they were all just my RC buddies that I met through my local AMA club.
Hmm. Now, have you actually done anything yourself or went out and helped your local fire department or anything?
Yes. Myself and Tony Yee, we were called by the St. Croix Sheriff's, the St. Croix County Sheriff's Department, which is in western Wisconsin. I'm here in the Twin Cities of Minnesota,
okay.
So that's just right next door to us.
Mm-hmm.
But they called us. They said they had a guy who had been gone for about 3 days in a county park, and they wanted to know if we could help him. So I took off. I told my boss, I'm like, see ya, I got to go. and we grabbed our gear, and we went and helped them. That was a very learning experience for both Tony and I.
Sure.
Search and rescue is not easy.
No.
It takes a certain setup to be effective, and we learned that the hard way. One of the things we learned was that 9 times out of 10, when you're on a search, you are operating near a body of water. You're always looking for somebody like near a river or a stream or a lake or something like that. So you want to have some good waterproofing on your gear.
Oh, didn't think about that. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Another thing that we learned is that, you know, we've got our system set up, you know, FPV flying for fun, and it's great for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not so good for search and rescue because we have our cameras facing forward so we can fly.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to look down
mm-hmm.
in order to look for somebody. Not only that, but the way the if you we there was a few times where we were flying into the sun, and the way the camera was compensating for the light, turning the whole bottom frame into a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't good. So anyway, downward facing camera, you know, like multiple camera systems are probably going to be a key to this being successful.
That's what I was wondering. Is there guidelines to the type of equipment that your members should have, or that you suggest to them for?
You know, that's thing? I'm glad you brought that up, because since Flight Fest, we have been embraced by several companies: Stone Blue Airlines, Snipair Industries, Fortis Airframes, Stealth 2O Waterproofing, and a couple others. Those guys right now, as we speak, are all working together to develop platforms just for search and rescue applications based on our specifications.
Outstanding.
And when we're done, we're going to tell our team members, like, hey, this is available to you, and this is what we think will really work well.
Mm-hmm. I guess the other thing, too, maybe to throw into that list is you need something that's, I would think, fairly kind of, you know, can cruise around slow and has a long battery life.
Yes, being very, very stable in adverse weather conditions is a criteria that we could put in, because the chances of being a nice, you know, calm, clear, blue, sunny day when a call goes out, there's is slim.
Right.
So you're right, yeah.
So it really is something, you know, kind of like the Inspire, where that thing's just like a big tank almost, but shoots very good quality video, and probably something, even though it is fairly expensive, but something that would work well in, you know, some adverse conditions, I would think.
Right. You know what? Here's the thing, is that it doesn't have to be fancy to help.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, like I said, these agencies, they want to use this equipment, but they don't have it. So anything that flies and carries a camera is better than what they have now, which is nothing.
Right, right, right. Now, if you found where, you know, after talking to some of these fire departments and sheriff departments and stuff, that they really, you know, would like to get some stuff and maybe have a course and teach some of their people, you know, how to fly it, but the higher-ups are bucking the system a little bit and going, nah, we don't really see the need for this or anything like that?
They are trying to work on that. In fact, even Garrett down in Texas there, his fire chief has sent in his application for an FAA exemption to try and get his department to use this. I mean, here's the problem. It's like the FAA's main concern is public safety.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's our main concern too. So, especially when you have, you know, official agencies that want to use this technology to, you know, for the betterment of mankind, it's a shame that they have to jump through all these hoops and have all these obstacles just to try and, you know, help people.
Yeah, and that was kind of my next question, is just an example. I was wondering if the FAA was giving you guys any kind of problems. Just for an example, we had a company, I think it was a township here in Cleveland, might have been a couple years ago, bought a pretty high-tech type drone, and what they were doing was in the wintertime, they were taking it and inspecting these overflow pipes in the winter, you know, checking for ice to make sure they weren't backing up. Not only were they saving a lot of time, you know, is saving the city money, they are also not risking their people climbing in around these pipes in the wintertime with all the ice, and it was working fantastic. And the FAA here in Cleveland got wind about it and came and shut them down. Literally just said, no, you can't do that. So,
Chris, were they operating commercially?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, it was just a small township, you know, on the east side of Cleveland that, you know, I can't say for sure, but I was just really shocked. You know, they were kind of outspoken about it, where, you know, here we are, we're saving our township money, you know, we're limiting the damage on our people climbing around, and it was a good thing. And the FAA said, no, you can't do that. So I was just kind of curious if, you know, I would think if the FAA did kind of step in or gave you a little bit of grief that would really put them in a bad light.
Oh, yeah, that would be a PR nightmare for them. Actually, there was a company. Actually, there is a company called EcuSearch. They're down in Texas, and they're doing great work down there. We really look forward to bringing them on board the Air Bears family and working together. But they were approached by the FAA. They were doing the same thing we were doing, and the FAA said, you know, you can't do this. And they were like, what? We're non-commercial.
Yeah,
we're
not making any money or anything. Yeah.
Exactly. So EcuSearch filed a lawsuit, and when the FAA was served the lawsuit, they sat down. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. You guys keep doing what you're doing. And then here's the thing. In Boston, with all of the snow that they've got this past winter, the city of Boston actually hired an aerial photography company to do some surveying of their rooftops. And they weren't quiet about it. It was on the local news, and money changed hands. It was all up and up. Everything was fine, and the FAA has done nothing about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Nothing. So, here's the great thing, because while we were there at Flight Fest, I got to meet Mr. Bob Brown, the president of the AMA, and he gave me a pat on the back, and he said, if the FAA ever bothers you, he says, I want you to call me first. I'll take care of it.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow. See, there's a lot of stuff that the FAA will step out there. Even though there's no laws against it, they'll try to make it sound like there are. And like with the lawsuit, you push back, they'll back off. Because they say so doesn't mean, you got to make sure that they have legal grounds to say what they're saying.
Yeah.
Correct. And here's the thing. Air Bears, as an organization, we are not flying. All Air Bears does is facilitate.
Coordinate.
All we do is coordinate and connect the dots. So we're not breaking any FAA laws, even if there were some. And and I learned this the other day when I was talking to Mike over at the Crash Cast. He is a big ham radio guy, and he told me off air that he says, you know, Scott, what you're doing isn't all that much different than what us ham radio guys
do. That's right.
And the FAA, the FCC has no problem with that. Even though they're using amateur band and all that, they fully support that.
They totally embrace that part.
Right.
Because it makes sense.
The thing is that, all this stuff, it's about education.
Yep.
People just don't, because of the bad press, people are starting to get afraid of these things. And then, oh, my God, there's the kid that put the gun on it.
Oh,
why did
God.
He do that?
Yeah.
That didn't help.
Yeah. No.
But you know what? We're going to try and work really hard to change the public perception of this technology and let people know that it can be used for good.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's what really irks me about is, almost every day we know of good stuff that people do with these and the things that you can do with these to better humanity, but in the press we don't get any of that. It's always just the negativity of what went wrong or who did this or who put a gun on it or whatever. And it
that's what sells.
Yeah, and it's aggravating. It really is, and it really puts not only the RC community in a bad light, but just the people that are trying to enjoy this hobby. It's right now it's a nightmare, and I think that's the one good thing of what you're doing that can really kind of turn this around a little bit. I think. Go ahead, Mike. You had some questions.
Well,
go ahead.
Since we're on the devil's advocate type, I from friends at work, they said that I guess there was a fire outbreak somewhere, and there was drones getting away with the rescue or the putting out of the fire with the other aircraft. Is that? I mean, if you're working with law enforcement, is that if there's like real scale helicopters, do they make you aware? Is there any problems there that you've ever encountered where you might hinder? Typically, ours are flying lower than what they would be, but I just was wondering if that was ever an issue at all with some of these rescue missions.
No, and first of all, those guys out there, those rogue drone pilots, they are not Air Bears.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah,
they were just doing it for image.
I wasn't associating with your group. But
the
I was
story
just,
that
yeah.
you're talking about
they
was
were
also it was staged. There was a lot of people that believed that that news article was staged because of the camera footage and stuff. And also, too, that they were nowhere near what it looked like. And a lot of times you can manipulate with camera angles.
Sure.
Oh, make it look closer than it really is. Yeah. And but there was also talk that that whole news thing was just made up and staged.
And like I said, this was through the grapevine. Yeah. I didn't see it myself. So
that's great. Well, you know, here's the thing is that when an air bear goes out for service, he is working with the agency that he's there to help.
Okay.
He's getting instruction from them that, you know, they'll tell you, you know, where they need you to go look, and you'll be working with them. You're there to help them, not hinder them. And, I'm sure if the case happens where say you're working on a fire and, they say, you know, why don't you go ahead and land? We're having some aircraft come in. You're working with them.
Sure.
So that's the difference.
Sure. Okay.
Here's a good question. Now, do you view this as an opportunity to build standards and you know, train and give your air bears, you know, certifications, I guess, if you will?
That's a fantastic question. And the answer is yes. Like I was saying before, how everyone that we needed to make this a success has been and falls into our lap. Well, it just so happens that the owner of Fortis Airframes, Mr. Zachary Packingham, he's like ex-military, professionally trained search and rescue dude. And
beautiful.
So we've got him on the team, and between him and a few other individuals, one is a firearms expert, which is they've developed you know, safety protocol as far as working with firearms and stuff, and a guy from FEMA. These guys are working together to develop what in the future will be an Air Bears certification program. This is brand new. It's still in the works. So we have a lot of wrinkles and stuff to figure out. But eventually, what we plan to do with Air Bears is have like an online certification program where if you successfully complete this program, you will be like, you know, elite, like Kodiak Air Bear, the big Air Bear, you know. you'll be like the elite, and you will have priority when a call goes out because you want to send your best guys out first.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. That's
they're working together to develop the criteria for that certification program.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt your cause, and it enhances your position and the organization's stature. And you know, who's not going to want someone who's got a certified background enabling a recovery operation, right? So that's wonderful.
Well, what it does is it helps us be more effective at saving lives,
yes.
And that's the goal.
That's one thing I was wondering as an amateur, like hobbyist and stuff. I know the video quality on my gear isn't really to snuff as far as seeing detail on the ground. Like I know Chad and I look for planes and stuff. It can be very, very daunting to say the least.
Yeah.
And trying to see any type of detail with the typical cameras that you attach to the quadcopters and things. So
that's
a struggle. And then trying to comb an area properly. I mean, I'm trying to think of these techniques that I would try to do if I got into that situation.
Right.
It'd be very difficult. Not willing to do your part.
Yeah.
It's better than nothing type of concept, but
yeah.
Well, you know this, go ahead.
I just wanted to add on to Mike's question too is, obviously we haven't signed up yet because right now I don't have anything to do anything, but hopefully here very soon we're going to have some stuff and we're going to do the sign up. But, the other part there to what Mike was asking, how do you go through like the pilot, like how do you screen them? How do you know, like, you know, this guy's got, you know, the right equipment and you know, competent pilot? I mean, how does that even work?
Right now there is none. And the reason for that is because the strength of our organization is in its membership. The more people we have on board, the faster we can get them out to where it's needed, and the better chances we have of saving a life.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as becoming an air bear, there's really only one criteria. You have to be at least 16 years old, and you have to have something that flies and carries a camera.
Okay.
Because that's better than what they have now, which is nothing.
I gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
Now I can
the guys that are going to be serious about this, they're going to they're going to be the guys that gear up
for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're working with some companies to develop platforms specifically designed for this. But in the meantime, you know, even if you've got a little cub and you can strap a GoPro to it and have it facing down, you can just go fly over the area, bring it back, land it, and watch your video. Because everybody knows that your recorded image is so much better than what you see on your goggles or on your monitor.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So that's in the meantime, that's what we found to be a more effective technique is to just bring it home, watch your video, see if something pops up.
Yeah. Hey, another quick question is, what's have you noticed like the most reoccurring rescue using the camera vehicles?
Okay. What was the question?
Like,
is it floods? Is it is it avalanches? What's the scenario?
The most reoccurring scenario that you guys have seen for the
people
rescues?
Missing.
Yeah.
Well, I've done a little bit of research, and it turns out that every day in America alone, 2,300 people are reported missing.
Wow.
So I think there's probably going to be more chance of that. But like, again, this is new. This is new to us. We're learning, we're evolving, we're growing, and we'll learn right along with everybody else.
Right. I know I'm hugging. If anybody else has any other questions, just jump in there.
I know. I already started talking to Chad because I'm looking at building a full-size hex and just for this purpose alone.
Yep.
And I'm wanting to go full out on-screen GPS, return to home to be able to log in coordinates, tell it to fly the pattern. And that way you can have the secondary camera. And this is all stuff you don't have to have right out of the gate, but this is good stuff to add on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then your secondary people can, man the secondary camera.
Right.
Coordinates, that way you could say, hey, they're right here, and instead of trying to figure out, and then the return to home helps just because if you're in an area you're not familiar
with,
and you don't have a tower and a racetrack to come back to, it would help.
It sounds like the gliders might be a good platform after your discussion, because of the range you get, you know what I mean? Like, we're thinking hexes and glides, for search and rescue, you would want the gliding capability.
It depends on the weather, too, though.
Yeah.
If you get a lot of wind and stuff, and if the weather's not, or even like with fires and stuff, you're going to want something.
There. Yeah, I would think
they're limited on range.
Yeah,
with coppers.
I think the cop. Well, they're getting someone now. They're
26 minutes. And stuff.
Some are even going almost a half hour. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Here's another thing that I would like to recommend to all of our air bears, and that is consider getting a separate monitor for your SD system.
Yeah.
That way, you can fly.
Yeah.
And the official that you're working with can watch the monitor.
Right.
And help you look.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, more eyes while you're flying is always a good thing.
Yeah,
regardless.
Right. And then you develop your staff to start using your search and rescue specialists and everything to look. I mean, there's techniques that the SAR guys use when they're looking for downed aircraft or people, and it's the colors and the orientation, angles, everything as well, right? Because from the top, looking straight down, you're not going to see, especially if you're in a thick canopy, right?
Oh, man, yeah.
Get a load of this, Andre. We've got one of the guys. He is he has an imaging company, and he's working on software that will help a camera pick out colors that don't quite make sense in the image.
Yeah.
And if you can read my mind here, say you got got a little boy. He's been looking, and he's been wearing a red shirt, and he's out in the woods. The camera will find him for you. Mm-hmm. So this is all new, and you guys know this. The way RC is going, and the way the technology advances, everything that we're talking about now will probably be obsolete, and there'll be better stuff in the next 6 months.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So here's another really awesome question in that. Are you going to start looking for government grants so you can do things like purchase forward-looking infrared flare systems and just enhance the capabilities? Maybe not on everybody's helicopter or quad or whatever, but in your hot zone, have them ready to go in under 24 hours kind of thing. And that way you can deploy with them because, stuff like that, there's a $1,000 camera. Just, you just don't want them sitting idle. So is that a thought?
Yeah, not only is it a thought, but it's happening right now.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Thanks to the very, very generous donation by my mom and dad, Mr. J. and Jane Zimmerman of Cottage Grove, Minnesota, we were able to obtain our very first FLIR camera. And right now, that camera is being used. What we did was we made a little camera pod out of it. So it's got a regular camera and then the FLIR next to it with a video switcher. That camera is modular, so we can take that, we can put it on any platform that we want. We share it in the team. We would love to be sponsored by FLIR. We would love to be able to do that. But right now, our funding is not the best. So we'll hopefully get some help soon from some people. And what I would like to be able to do is make these FLIR cameras available to our members at a huge discount. Mm. But that's something that's going to be way out in the future, and we'll just have to see how it goes. Because you're right, those cameras aren't cheap.
I was looking at some IR cameras. I can't remember the name of it now, but they're down to the penny size that they're using too. Like they show penny on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know there's different resolutions and stuff. Sure. Chad and I was looking at them, and I couldn't believe the technology and how small some of these infrared, pretty good quality. I mean, because I compared them to like the FLIR P640s that we use in our industry, electric utility. And it was pretty impressive, I thought.
The one that we've got is...
It's on my phone, and I can't look at it right now, but I would give you the name.
Don't touch that phone.
I'm not touching it. But it was really cool.
The one that we were able to get is it's the FLIR Lepton lens, and we got it through Flytron.
Okay.
And it is. It's a little tiny board camera. Sure. We looked at the one that... that Peter is using.
Okay, yeah.
And that camera is like, it's bigger and heavier.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But
ideal.
it's also better than ours, but it's also, I think, like 3 times more expensive than the one we got. Now, the resolution on our camera is not the best. I'll be perfectly honest with you. You are able to distinguish between like a human and an animal, but you couldn't tell if the human was a male or female.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But the thing is that
it's not who cares? That's not the criteria.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
It'll help.
You're just looking for that heat signature.
Oh, you know? God, yeah.
So
yeah.
Because there's a lot to thermal imaging with. We have a thermography group where I work, and there's a lot involved there with emissivity, how things reflect back. A lot of people didn't know you couldn't image through glass even, you know.
I tried that.
Because
yeah, I did some testing with it because
trying to encase it or something, we might have difficulties for waterproofing or something.
Exactly,
too.
So that's exactly what I was trying to do.
We use like thin bags, and you can waterproof it with like a thin plastic bag, but that's about it. But they use it to hold it out the car windows as we're line scanning and things with them. So that's one thing they were looking into, was trying to waterproof these devices. So,
So you're telling me that the lens will see through the thin plastic?
A thin plastic, it will. Yes,
great news. I did not know that. Thank you.
This is just little things I learn in the industry.
That's huge.
But
yeah, because you're right. I tried to put a pane of glass over it.
It'll reflect right back. Yes. Actually, if something might be even better, they use it in our industry. FLIR actually makes, because they put these glass windows on panels that the image will go through, so they can take pictures of or see the heat signature from switchgear and stuff. So there are other materials that it works with that might be even better. But you're looking a lot more money there. The thin plastic bag, would give that a shot and see how that works. But
man, thanks a lot. We'll have to try that out.
Sure.
Interesting. All right. Anybody else? I got a couple more here. I think you were just talking when we first got going that this is actually going worldwide now. Is that correct?
It is.
Wow. So that
means
Andre, have you signed up yet?
Not yet, but
you haven't got that APM up and going.
No. Yeah. Let me get my gear stabilized before I volunteer any assistance. I don't want to add to the problem.
Yes,
right?
That's what I'm worried about myself. So,
how's the response going worldwide? Then
we've got guys in Australia. We've got guys in the UK. We've got guys in South America.
Wow.
Not a lot. It's hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
But we recently learned that the waiver that we have made, because any person who signs up to be an air bear is not, you know, like fully fledged until we get this document back from them.
Oh,
and
I see.
It's a basic liability waiver. All mm-hmm. it does is just protects us and the organization that you're trying to help from any litigation in case you happen to, like, let's say you cut your finger on your prop out there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to sue us or the people you're trying to help.
Right.
Yes, you got to have now, that.
But there has been some question about its validity overseas. So we've got our legal team working on that. Like again, you know, this is new, and we're gonna be growing, we're gonna be learning, and we're gonna be getting better as we go.
Right. Another question I had was, once this thing, obviously it's really starting to take off now, but down the road, are you looking for, I guess they really wouldn't be employees, but like the other volunteers that are say, part of Air Bears that can actually go out and maybe talk to their local fire departments, or maybe do a seminar for a region or something like that to actually grow this even more?
Chris, do you own a crystal ball? Because you are... You are describing what is happening right now.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Our guy, our rock star, Garrett Brill, he's being flown to a national fireman's, like, convention
mm-hmm.
with him and the chief. DGI is footing the bill for that.
Oh, wow.
And he's going to be wearing his Air Bear shirt, and he's going to be spreading the word, and he's going to be doing a lot of what do you call it? He's just going to be really helping us out. Being ambassador, he's going to be an ambassador for us. And in the future, when we get guys that have been on searches and they have some experience under their belt,
mm-hmm.
we would like to recognize them, you know, and make them like maybe a 5-star general, and then they could be like a district guy.
Or something. Yeah.
There's just so many ways that this could be done and be useful and be effective, and people are so enthusiastic about it that we'll have no problem finding people that want to help.
Yeah, once you get to a point, it's going to take off like wildfire just by word of mouth.
Yeah,
and then
it
once they
has,
see it,
thanks
oh yeah,
to you guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to the fire departments and the emergency, anybody out there. When they start seeing this stuff on the news, it's like, wow, I didn't even know those guys out there. And they'll be calling you. I mean, I can just see that coming like real soon, where you guys are going to hit that right button. Mm-hmm. And it's just going, you think you're busy after Flight Fest.
Yeah.
You just wait.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's something I'd like to do myself. Yeah, like just to have us guys, you know, get together, say, okay, we're going to stop at this place, maybe go to Jackson Fire Department. Yeah. Then we'll go, you know, and just spread the word a little bit and say, hey, this is what's going on. If you haven't already heard about it, maybe even put on, you could do a little demonstration, say, you know, and let them know exactly the capabilities of what you're, you know, and what's available to them. Any thoughts on that? No, maybe?
Yes, no, you're right.
Well, I'm not the type of person that doesn't deal with stressful situations real well, and flying under these circumstances, maybe elements or even the law enforcement stuff, I don't... My personality doesn't. I mean, not that I don't want to help, but I don't know if I would perform.
Yeah.
But you know,
what would
trust me.
Once your
knees are knocking.
Yeah.
Your knees are knocking when you're out there.
I was going to ask you how stressful
drizzing.
It was.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm just like, man, I don't know if I could handle that. And I mean, I don't know.
I think if you're there and you're focused and now you got a mission, I think a goal. I think in that kind of a situation, I think that the mission would rise above. Like you said, your knees would be knocking. And not saying you wouldn't be nervous, but I think you'd be driven because this is no longer just fun.
Yeah,
this
I
is
know.
Serious.
I
and
know.
I think you'll just.
But it's very scary at the same point. I would think.
Here's the thing, though, and I'll be perfectly honest with you. I enjoy driving a lot, and as a result, I have my fair share of speeding tickets. So when I see a cop on the side of the road, I get nervous, just like everyone else,
like a deer in headlights type.
Right. Yeah. But let me tell you, when you on the opposite. And when you're on the other side of the blue line, it's a different world. These people are very dedicated. They're just trying to do their jobs, which is very difficult these days. And they are very, very supportive. You are in their club, and you are working with them.
Yeah, one of my better buddies is a police officer, so I know what you mean there. He lets me do ride-alongs and stuff, so it's kind of interesting to see that perspective of things, but it is different. So,
Go ahead. I was just going to say, and not everybody has to be a pilot, right? I think you're going to see a point where you start advancing and you're going to have your communications specialist, you're going to have your payload camera specialist, and you know, not everybody will be the pilot there, right, Mike? And you'll still have a way to help out and be present, sure. But you don't have to worry about, you know, that aspect.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, having a spotter to help you, you know, having some guys to help you be more effective. That'll be key.
Yeah.
You know, to speak to the popularity that you were talking about earlier, Chris, it's funny because Matt over at Stone Blue, we've been talking back and forth, and he's like Scott. He says, you don't realize. He says, Air Bears is like the needle that popped the balloon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. He says, everybody is getting on board with this. And, you know, that one day when I came home from work and I saw all my emails and I'm like, oh, my God. And so we had our board meeting and I'm like, what am I going to do? How are we going to handle all of this info? And thanks to my good buddy, Joe Birchill, he's been one of our founding members. He's one of the behind the scenes guy. And he sat back in his chair and he's like, don't worry about it, Scott. He says, I have a contact. He runs an agency that. This is what they do, is handle all this contact information. He says, I'll give him a call and we'll get set up with him and we'll take it from here. And I'm like, thanks, Joe.
Thank God, yes.
Yeah, because really, isn't there only, there's only three or four of you, correct?
We have three members on our board. And then we have Joe, Dan, and Shane. So yeah, there's just a few of us running this. This is very grassroots.
Wow.
And so we're starting out small. But
definitely a great concept and everything too.
Right.
All right. Did anybody ask you how you came up with the name Air Bears?
Oh, that's right.
That's a good one.
That's a great question. you know, it just so happens that I've been a fan of flight tests since you guys were running it out of Chad's basement.
That's when I loved it the most.
Yeah, no doubt. That was
which was only like what, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So maybe you guys can help me with how to handle enormous growth. But anyway, it was one of your very first podcasts that you did with David Bindestal. Uh-huh. Still, and they were discussing the differences between the online forums, like RC groups.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Versus the flight test forums.
Right.
And David said something really interesting. Do we have a clip?
Oh, I think we do. Yeah. Let's throw it in there.
Okay. And now this is where you put the clip. Okay. But anyway, so So that's how we came up with the idea. Now, obviously, I couldn't call it Care Bears.
let's not do that.
Grumpy Bear.
I'm grumpy.
But here's the thing is that now I'm going to age myself because I can remember back in like the Smokey and the Bandit days when CB radio was huge.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a Smokey was a cop on the side of the road. But if you had a guy, if you had law enforcement in a plane,
uh-huh. Yep.
That was a bear in the air.
Yeah.
So it kind of had it really works.
I see.
Yeah.
Huh, that's pretty cool. And what's the actual length of time that you guys have had this up and running? It hasn't been very long, has it?
Since October of last year.
Oh, yep. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Flight Fest was our unveiling to the world.
Wow. Very good.
Unreal.
That's where we got it started off. We signed up close to 100 people at that event.
No kidding.
And
I saw Chad Capper signed up in a video I was looking at last night. I'm like, I didn't even know he joined. So
yeah, he's great.
I'm hoping to get together with him tonight. I'll ask him a little bit about how that went. So
yeah, we got an incredible amount of support and enthusiasm about this. You know, to the point where now we've had to hire an outside firm to handle all of this info and. In order to do that, unfortunately, we had to charge a registration fee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been some people that weren't too happy about that. I wasn't happy about it. but we had no choice. We're a small group, and if we were continuing to run it like we did, we would all be broke within a couple weeks.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and this is
point out your fact,
yeah. This is where you filter out the people who are really serious versus those who just want to freeload and throw their name out there, and they're not serious. And
right.
You know what? I mean, I don't see why some of the people were complaining about $25. Come on, do you know what it's going to? I mean, you spend $25 on junk.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you're contributing to something that means something. So that means you're serious about it.
Sure.
And not only that, get this. I mean, we are – Air Bears is an official 501c3 organization. We're set up just like the Goodwill of the United Way. So anything that you donate or contribute to this organization, you're going to get back most of it from Uncle Sam at the end of the year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So to all the people who are, you know, are not happy about the registration fee, let me just say, please send your hate mail to flight test. You are
lame. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's just best. A lot of them are trolls. You just ignore them. They go away, you know. And the average human being that's out there will notice a troll. They'll know who they are, and they ignore them. You know, most of your intelligent people look at these guys and say, yeah, you're an idiot, and they'll just move on. Yeah. So, yeah, don't even come down to their level. No. Just keep up the awesome work you're doing. The only thing I can advise you, and I'm sure you're already in it, is start preparing, man, because you're going to be busy, so you better build your infrastructure.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this something, too, that you've hear coming soon that maybe you can go full-time and you know, make a, I wouldn't say a career, but something you can put 100% effort behind it?
I would love to be able to do that. We're not at that stage yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting any funding. So that's, you know, it costs to run a business.
Sure.
It costs to run an organization. And so when that happens, you know, we've approached companies like ScanDisk, the guys that make the SD cards, Corrosion X, you guys did an article on that, 'cause waterproofing is going to be big.
And you mentioned Fleer.
We're trying to approach them companies that stand to actually benefit from this, and to see maybe if they would help us out, because we are going to need some help pretty soon.
Sure. Oh, I'm sure. And I'm sure that'll come too. Once you start hitting the news stuff, people are going to see the value in this, and you're going to, I can see the support coming.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that happens. And, you know, we have a section on our website where people can go to donate. Air Bears, we are completely a transparent organization. In fact, the people who donate, they get to decide how their money is spent. We've got it broken up into four different categories between marketing, equipment, general, and administrative, and they can decide where they want those funds to be allocated. So,
very good.
Speaking of David, I was just curious, have you reached out to David at all, and does he know about this, or maybe like Tony from Immersion RC over there in Europe?
You know, I'm just Scott Zimmerman, this little guy in Minnesota, and I don't want to be like the creepy dude, because David's going to be like, he's like, who is Deese? I don't know who is.
Well, I'll tell you what, we will take care of that for you.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I will get a hold of David, and in case he hasn't heard about it yet, we'll have a little chat about it, and I think he'll get you hooked up over there in Europe a little bit.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yep. I got a couple more, but I keep stepping on it. Andre, did you have anything else? Or?
No, I think we've covered any of my questions. I'm Scott, man, leverage the community. That's the biggest piece of advice we can give right now, I think. I think you've got a phenomenal idea, and it's going to be very successful. Like Wayne just said, I think you're going to be slightly more busy in the very near future.
Yeah, that's right.
Scott, what I wanted you to do too, before I forget, I was wondering if you know, here at FT After Hours, we're always talking about the silly things we do and the crash stories and stuff, but can you share some of the stories of some of the good things that have happened of people, you know, helping, you know, rescue people, whether, you know, from lost or a flood? I mean, I've seen some of the stories out there, but I was wondering if you could share some with us.
I would love to be able to do that. But here's the thing about search and rescue operations. You are dealing with life and death situations, and it's very sensitive to the friends and families involved. Mm-hmm. So all Air Bear members are dedicated, and they, you know, they are ethically bound to not disclose any information about what we're doing.
Okay.
Until it's been released by the authorities, they have the final say. In fact, when an Air Bear goes out on a mission, they have to understand that at the discretion of the organizer or the official that's in charge, they may have to forfeit their footage.
Sure.
Because for obvious reasons.
Right.
No one wants to see this stuff turn up on YouTube.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
So that's an important aspect of this organization, and our members have to be aware of that. Right now we're working on some alternatives to either compensate or reimburse that individual for his SD cards.
Yeah.
Or we're going to try, and this is what I would like to do instead, and that is, you know, just hand him the card, give it to your sheriff or your fire chief. Let them take it for a couple of days.
They can
They can transfer it, and then they can invite you into the firehouse and, you know, pat on the back or whatever, meet and greet with the guys you worked with, and you can get your clean card back. That's the way I would like to see that.
Yeah, I understand that. Real quick, though, like some of the stories that did come out of Texas, I think they're public, and I don't know if anybody has really heard them or maybe seen them. Could you share a little bit of maybe some of
the ones that have been disclosed?
The ones out of Texas of what he actually did with the Inspire?
Well, what he did, we have no control over the media.
Right.
If the news shows up with a camera crew and stuff, they're going to do whatever they want. And so, we're not responsible for that. But what Garrett did, what happened, there was the torrential floods that they had this past spring.
Mm-hmm.
There was a family that was stranded in their house. They could not get any life preservers or any equipment to them to get them off this house. So Garrett showed up with his Inspire, and with his little hook that he's modified on the bottom, he flew a lifeline to them. And when they got that lifeline, they were able to get a real rope and get life preservers, and they were able to get them off of that house safely. And then there were some people in a truck that had got whisked away into a wooded area, and they were looking for them for a couple hours. Garrett has also modified his gimbal to either carry a camera or a high-powered spotlight that he can aim.
Oh.
And he found him in like 23 seconds.
No kidding.
Yeah. Wow. So he's the guy that we point to when we say, this can work,
because
it already has.
Right. Fantastic. Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I just find it fascinating, just the few stories that I've read and heard about it, you know. And I heard those stories way before I even knew, you know, about Air Bears, and didn't put the connection together till later, and I was kind of blown away by it. So it's just unbelievable.
Do you fly, on a side note, do you fly as a hobby then as well? And do you have any just fun little stories of your own from flying?
I am not one of these guys that goes back years and years. I got into this a couple of years ago, but 2.5 years ago is when I started.
Okay.
It just so happens that on my way home from work every day, I pass this little field, and I've seen guys flying over there for years. But here's the thing. When I was little, in order to get into this hobby, you had to have several thousands of dollars, because everything was balsa, and it was like FM transmitters
and
gas engines, and it was so expensive.
Yes.
And I'm like, Dad, I want to fly planes. And he's like, sorry, son, unless you want to eat your plane, you know. So then one day I decided, you know, I'm going to just stop over there and just, you know, because I still think it's cool. And that's when I discovered that it's all foam and it's all electric, and that this plane only costs $60. And I'm like, wow, I could do that.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into it.
Okay.
The platform that I'm personally using for search and rescue, I found out, is quite unique from Flight Fest. I took bat bone frame, and I turned it into the dragonfly.
Oh, I love that thing.
And I did that for two main reasons. One, I love the bat bone frame for line of sight operation. It's got an extremely unique silhouette in the sky, and it really helps with orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the dragonfly has redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're putting a camera up in the air that costs a lot of money, it's a good peace of mind to know that you can lose a motor and it'll still fly.
Yeah.
And so I brought it to Flight Fest, and I showed Josh Bixler, and he shook his head. He goes, "I didn't think it could be done."
Wow, and, that's impressive.
And I'm like, because I. The thing about the bat bone frame is that the CG on it is way, way far back in the tail of the frame. There's not a lot of frame there to work with. But then I realized that, you know, unlike Josh's setup where he has a straight boom going across the center of gravity, all of a sudden the light bulb went off in my head, and I'm like, I don't need to have a straight boom. As long as I get the motors on the CG, that's what's important. So I got out my ruler and my protractor, and I sharpened my pencil and my calculator. 63 degrees from the front booms, or the front arms, 63 degrees, that's what you need. And that'll put those motors right over the CG, and she'll fly like a champ.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was showing those pictures to Chad, and he was really intrigued by that. That thing is awesome.
I know. I put a picture of it on our Air Bears Den, our little Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh liked it. Josh liked it.
I have to see this. Yeah, I didn't get the chance
to
see it.
I know you just let me into that Air Bears group there on Facebook. Talk a little bit about what that's for, what you guys talk about in there.
You know, it's pretty simple. None of us, aside from Tony, are like professional web designers. So we didn't know how to create a forum or anything like that. So I told the guys, I like, look, just in the meantime, we'll just make a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our members can go there, and we can talk, and we can learn, and we can teach, and we can, you know, communicate socially on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a way for all of our team members to stay in touch with each other and to grow as a community.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, love that idea. I got to get in there. I know I just got joined up, so I got to get in there and poke around and see what's going on in there.
Do you guys have a picture of his bat bones? Maybe we could
Wayne
add
does.
To this.
Yeah,
you know, maybe our podcast. Yep. I'd like to see that.
Absolutely, so. We can throw that.
Sounds interesting.
Yep, we can throw it on the
website.
If
Josh likes it, I think we should put it on there. So.
Oh God, Josh likes it. Get that sucker up there.
Wow. Anybody else? Anybody, Andre, Mike, Wayne, anybody have any other questions or anything for Scott? Everybody pretty good? I think we answered
this. I'm all good, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Scott, before we let you go, though, just tell everybody, you know, where they can find Air Bears and what, you know, if they do want to sign up, just run them through the process a little bit of what they need to do.
Okay, all you have to do is go to airbears.org. That's airbears.org. And you go to the... join the team section. You'll have to fill out some basic information. We don't need your credit card number. We don't need your social security number. All we need is just some basic contact info, stuff that you would find in a phone book for those who know what phone books are.
yeah, I was going to say, what's a phone book?
Yeah.
So after you fill that out and after you pay your registration fee, we will send you a link to our liability document. And you'll sign that document, and when we get that back from you, we ship you out a free T-shirt. Now, the T-shirt is important because the T-shirt is kind of like a backstage pass. The T-shirt is not for sale. You cannot buy it. We give it away for free, including shipping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, without wearing that T-shirt, your authorities will not be able to identify you. They'll think that you know, they won't know you from anyone else, and they won't know that you're there to help. So when you go on a mission, wear your T-shirt. They'll know who you are, who you're with, and that you're there to help them and not get in the way.
Ah, gotcha. Awesome idea. All right. Well, I think we've covered a lot of stuff.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I got to say I'm so excited that actually it was Chad Capper at Flight Fest. You know, we were pretty busy there the first couple days there, and Chad found me, and he come over and he says, Chris, you've got to go over and talk to this guy, Scott, from Air Bears. It's just a phenomenal organization. You know, you should get him on the podcast, see what it's all about. But he said, I think you'll really enjoy it. So I got to give it up to Chad, because, you know, without him, I'm sure we would have eventually run into you and talked to you, but he's the one that initially
set I wish this I wouldn't have slept in and got to meet you, Scott. I apologize on that.
Yeah. And I'm excited. Go ahead.
We really wanted to talk to you guys too, but then again, I don't want to be like, I told the guy, I'm like, don't be creepy. No. You know, leave them alone. No. They're busy. Let them come to us. We don't want to be the creepy guys. I mean, hey, talk to me because I like flight test. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. No, that was what we do. We like to meet and greet with everyone we can possibly do on that weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And I got to be honest, I'm excited. I mean, I really can't wait to, I don't know if you even listen to these little janky podcasts, but I've been on the fence.
I listen to all of them.
And I think here pretty soon I'm going to end up, you know, getting a Phantom 3 just for my own personal use. And I think it's going to work great for the Air Bears thing. So as soon as I get that thing in the mail, I will be signing up. And as Wayne said, too, I think you're going to be working on something, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, he's working on a hat.
I'm putting that picture out on Instagram. Gotcha. So.
He's building a platform.
Yeah. Right. Wait, come back. Wait, where'd you go?
I may have to sign up too. Just I only have an H quad and a little race quad, but they do have cameras on them, and I can put that platform on gliders and stuff. Absolutely. So if needed. So.
Hey, here's the thing about the race quads. They're small, and there's gonna be situations where that's gonna be a benefit. You know, maybe it needs to fly into an area and check out an area that's gonna be hard for somebody to get into.
Sure.
Everything right now has value.
Very good.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Andre, you better get working on that APM platform. I know what?
I'm looking at it right now going, geez, you know, is four motors enough? Do I need to build a whole new frame or something?
Well, but, I saw one of your motors fell off of your...
Yeah, that's a tricopter.
Make sure you secure them, I guess, Andre.
No. Hey, Scott, what do you call that bat bones? Is that a... Dragonfly configuration?
It looks like a dragonfly, I'll tell you that.
I call it the dragon bone.
That's what I'm putting it on.
All right, Scott. Well, we won't hold you up. I know we've been over an hour, but we just really enjoyed talking to you.
Yes.
We really, really appreciate you joining us and coming on and spreading the word for Air Bears. So maybe down the road, once, if you got something new, stay in touch with us, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Anything new pops up or something, you're more than welcome to come on our platform and, share anything with us. We're really excited about it. So.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. You know, the exposure that you guys provide to this organization is going to be a huge factor in our success. So thank you so much for having me on today. I can't tell you how much it means.
Yeah, no problem. And maybe hopefully we'll see you in person again.
Yeah, that's right.
I got to meet you now.
Before Flight Fest 2016. So, okay, on that note, guys, we're going to get out of here. Thank you, Scott Zimmerman from Air Bears. Thank you, Andre, Mike, and Wayne.
Thank you.
We're going to get out of here and go enjoy the day. And I hear you guys are going to do a little flying.
I think so.
And Andre, keep it off the ground today.
Oh, yes.
So, and we will catch you next time. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.